Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com or connect with her on IG at teresagreco_steps to happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Hey, Teresa.
Hi, Manny.
How's it going?
Awesome. And yourself?
Actually, going well. Normally, Februarys are drab.
It's a tough month.
I think it's because I hang out with you more often, so it's becoming a more pleasant month. Honestly.
It's for those who actually suffer from SAD, too. So it's an acronym for seasonal, something disease. I shouldn't have brought it up. Yeah, something like that.
Seasonal.
Yeah, and it's because we're sunlight deprived.
Okay.
So people's vitamin D levels go low, and it's those who might find a bit of relief going to like the tanning bed to get a little bit more vitamin D. But it's the time of the year that people are low on their happiness because they could be suffering from that.
You can get some snow blindness if you want. You can just stand right in front of mounds of snow and just let that. Pick up some Inuit glasses or something.
Get a bit of sun like that.
I don't know if that's a possibility. But no. That's why it's been a good month so far. It's been a typical Canadian winter. Totally fine. I'm not objecting to it. Doesn't bother me. I'm old enough to know how to drive and how to handle things, how to take care of stuff, what needs to be shoveled. I know all that stuff. It's like, there's no surprise.
Yeah, we Canadians, we can do this.
It's like you say, you wake up with the day that you want to have.
Yes.
That's how you should wake up. If you wake up and you're like, oh, I got to get to work again.
Yeah.
Or you can wake up and I got to get to work again. Mm-hmm. It's a different mindset, right? Simple as that.
Yes, it's all about the mindset. And setting an intention at the beginning of the day for how you want your day to unfold is important because I don't even know to say how it works. But if I say today is going to be a good day, and then I might add on some things to that by thinking about how I want my day to be a good day. So I say, well, you know, the students that I'm going to work with today are going to be really great. Or, you know, the podcast that I'm going to be talking on, you know, that conversation is just going to flow. It's just going to be amazing. So I'm then qualifying some of the things that I know that are going to transpire during the day. And I'm saying, this is the way that they're going to go. And like I said, magically, I don't know, but it seems to unfold exactly
the
way. Yes, it is. Does. Yeah.
Who are we speaking to today?
We are going to talk to Rick today. And he has a really cool story, which I can't wait to share with our listeners. So I'm just going to bring him into our conversation, and he's going to share a little bit more about where he was and where he is today. And for him, what is that missing clue? What is that missing thing that we're just maybe not tapping into as much as we can to live our happiest life?
Awesome.
Okay. Hello, Rick.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
Great, thank you.
So this is Manny, my co-host of Building Joy.
Hey.
Hi, Manny.
How are you today?
I am honest, loving, dependable, responsible, trustworthy, blessed, healthy, outward focused, solution oriented.
Awesome. I love all those adjectives. Those are all amazing.
They are.
So, Rick, why don't you start off by sharing a little bit about, you know, where you were before? We love that backstory part. And then what some of the changes were that you made that is helping you to live the happy life that you're living?
Sure. I'll be happy to. I guess this is live or we're recording or something like that.
We're recording right now. Yeah.
It's all audio. So.
Okay. I discovered the one thing that I believe in my mind is the most important thing to invest time and money in about 7 years ago. And when I discovered this, my life's trajectory went from one direction to the other direction, 180 degrees. So I'll describe it that way since this is audio only.
Okay.
And that one thing, as a financial advisor, which is who I am, that's been my profession for decades. Many people ask me, where should I put my money? Where should I invest? And so on and so forth. And whenever I respond to that question, they never expect my answer. And that answer is self-esteem. It is not the ABC fund or the XYZ stock or whatever. It is yourself, your the self-estimate that you have for yourself. When you love yourself, when you think you are the best thing since sliced bread, when you become your biggest fan, you watch your life results change in an instant. Some of them do change right away and some don't. Some take time. But in my case, I walked into this arena of personal growth and personal development before I discovered this powerful item that we all have. My life was fine. It wasn't destitute. I was divorced. I was dating this woman. I had two children who loved me. I loved them back. Everything was okay. All right. I would call it like mediocre. And then she tells me about this class I should take. It was really amazing for her. You should probably check it out yourself. I took offense to that suggestion because what's the matter with me, right? Wrong with me. But this was a new relationship. I wanted to fertilize it. So I said, my mouth said yes, my heart said no, but I showed up anyway. And my idea was I'll take the class and I'll give her a report card and then we will continue on our merry way. Mind you, I was divorced, like I said, not getting married again. That was never going to happen. And folks, after those 3 days, when I discovered the power of being my biggest fan, loving myself, everything changed. I saw how I showed up in the world in a 360-degree manner with spotlight shining from angles that I couldn't because I'm walking around with blinders on, right? Like we all do. And it was that weekend that became one that I'll never forget. Because now, instead of leading a mediocre life, which I didn't have major complaints, but I recognized what I was missing out on. I recognized what was possible. I recognized what joy could really be. I recognized that I said no to a lot of happiness just because of my attitude about myself and my belief or lack of belief in myself. My net worth has blossomed since then. My business has not just skyrocketed, it's gone like an upward bend curve. Okay. I'm dealing with higher net worth individuals as clients. That girlfriend that I was dating at the time before I took that class, the person that I always said I would never get married again, well, she's now my wife. All right. And that's because of my discovery. Now, these were my results. Okay. And there are more. I feel far more invigorated. I feel very valuable. I'm answering the questions that all of us have every single day, in my view, of am I worthy? Am I good enough? Does all that sound familiar? Yeah, I used to answer those no. I'm answering those yes now because my self-estimate, my self-esteem is rocking very, very high. I wouldn't be on this podcast had it not been for the belief in myself. I used to huddle into a corner. I used to be semi-embarrassed just to show up on a Zoom call. What value would I have to give to anyone, I said to myself, before I discovered how valuable I was and how valuable that I am. So that is why I'm here today. That's why I'm giving and resounding this message. I hope that will resonate with somebody listening to this and think, wow, gosh, he's right. I would love to be living a life like this also. And how do you do that? It doesn't take a snap, but you can change the direction in a snap. And that's when you start doing things, when you start recognizing how you can become a better version 2.0. When you love yourself more, when your self-esteem is reaching very, very high levels, you care about your future. That self-esteem of mine and everyone else's, if you ask me, is like a silent ghost that's perched here on my left shoulder, whispering sweet nothings in my ear. And it's helping me make decisions. Every single action that I take or that I don't take is driven by my self-esteem. Every health choice, every food that I eat, every exercise class that I take or don't take, every book that I read, what I listen to in the car, what I do with my spare time, how I develop and foster my relationships with my honey or my kids or my clients, all of that is driven by my self-esteem. I'm kind of going here on a big time tangent, but that is the most powerful thing, if you ask me, people should be spending time and energy on.
What was the very first thing, Rick, that you saw once you realized from this course?
I decided to get married. That's what happened.
Really? So from that, you got from out. That was one
result that did change in an instant. I walked in on the Friday saying, nope, not doing that marriage thing. It's marriage's fault. It's not my fault. It's marriage's fault. If I go down that marriage road again, it's going to be the same end result. True. If I didn't change, I was right. But I did change. I realized how much happiness, how much joy I was denying myself by being that way, by being closed-minded, by being fill in the blank.
But look, looking back at it, mm-hmm. if you didn't get married, would you still be in the same self-esteem kind of positive?
No, not at all.
No, really, huh?
I mean, this is I'm speaking from my life only. Mm-hmm. However, if I was not married today like I am to a gorgeous, lovely woman who has injected so much life in me as a result of all this, if I didn't have that, then I would definitely not be as fulfilled and as joyful and as complete of a person as I am today, without question.
That's so beautiful. Now, Rick, I want to ask you, in your... And just because of the awakening that you had or realizations that you had, what happens to us where I believe as children, we are born into this planet and we are love, peace, and happiness at our core. But as we get older, after the age of 6 in particular, we start to become more aware of the world around us and how people mm-hmm. start to see us. Yep. And we have the world pulling us away from like everything that you're saying. That is the truth of who we are. Our original nature, our essential self, is all the qualities that you just said. We are mm-hmm. love at our core. So mm-hmm. what happens to us? And in that, how do we lose connection with that truth that we are powerful creators, that we are love already, we are happiness always and in abundance? So what do you think pulls us away, and what is the result of being pulled away?
I can speak for myself only, although I'll bet my story is very similar to many other people. I agree with you, Teresa. When we're born as a young baby, we all have the amazing, magnificent qualities of a human being. All of us do. Mm-hmm. Just think of that 6-month-old, that 1-year-old, that 2-year-old. What kind of qualities do they display? They are happy. They are joyful. They are eager. They are urgent. When they're in the toy store, they see a toy they want on the shelf. When do mm-hmm. they want it? They don't want it next week. They don't want it next month. They want it now,
yes.
Right? That's how we are as young children. We're born honest. We're not born dishonest. We're born honest. We learn how to be dishonest.
Yeah.
By us adults. We teach them how to be these other things.
Yeah.
And this is what happens as we get older. Like you said, Teresa, 6 years old, 7-year-old, life events happen to us. And those life events, they're life events for the small child, they may not be a big deal to, say, mom and dad. The dad might be saying to the son, no, don't tell the mailman I'm not, don't tell the mailman I'm here. They're like acting as if he's not there, but I'm just now teaching my son a small lesson on dishonesty, aren't I?
Yeah.
So we interpret that as a young child. Wow, this is the way the world works. We encounter these, say, childlike life events that help us develop our own personal belief systems about how the world operates. And that produces our feelings. That those feelings produce our behaviors. And those behaviors produce our actions, which produce the results that we have in our life. I've heard a stat, and I believe this is true, one half of those belief systems are all developed by age 9. And then when we make it to age 18, 95% of those belief systems are completely developed. We have like 5% room to wiggle when we're adults to make changes. It's really hard to change this, right? It's really hard to change this. When we see great results in our life, or what we think are great results, that's because of probably we've got a good belief system about something going on. Mm-hmm. If, on the other hand, we don't have some great results, like myself, I was divorced. I'm never going to get married again. And I was looking down a pathway of decades, whether I realized it or not at the time, of not a lot of happiness and not a lot of joy. But that was the path that I chose because of the belief system that I had, right? So it didn't take a day. It took, in this case, yeah, it was like a three-day class. It happened, just so happened, but I was able to change that belief system about myself. I believe that I did deserve a joyful, harmonious, loving, long-term relationship with someone. When I decided to change the belief system that I had in me, that's when that life result changed for me. And I can talk about other life results too, but it took 18 years for us to develop our core belief systems. And to change some of them, not easy. It's hard to unwind. It's hard to create new neural pathways down to better life results because we're so used to going the old way, right? We're all a function of our habits, both good and bad.
Now, Rick, how do you think most people are showing up? When you say we don't have, or our self-esteem isn't the way that it should be, if that's all we know, right, as you said, we're habitual beings, we're 18, now we think, well, this is what it's like. This is who I am. This is what the world is like. And this is what it is. What does it mean to have low self-esteem? Because if you don't know anything otherwise, you just think, well, that's how it is. Till you discovered that, oh, shit, I wasn't tapping into a whole nother aspect of myself, the truth of who I am, because I was living like this. So how are most of us living where we're limited and sabotaging ourselves? How? Because the idea is to bring some awareness to that so that people listening will say, you know what, I think about myself like that. I didn't even realize that I view myself in that way. And because I view myself in that way, I'm now limiting myself in all these other ways and therefore living a limited life.
It's all about self-awareness. This is a very simple answer from me to you. It's not an easy one, but it's a very simple one. The more I became self-aware of how I showed up in the world, how I reacted to things. Isn't it kind of funny that we're driving down the highway or a road, and do you feel like yourself, you're driving behind the wheel and then somebody cuts you off right in front of you in another car? Does that make you feel irritated? Does that make you feel angry at that person? How are you reacting? We walk around our every single day in a subconscious state. Teresa, I don't recognize that I just know I'm angry at that person, and I don't recognize, and I'm not aware at that moment, this was long ago, that I chose to be angry at that person. I chose to be pissed off at that person. But instead, if we see every single event that happens in our life as neutral And it's up to us to decide how we interpret it. Is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? That's when things start to change. That's not easy to do. Because we are all driven by our subconscious. Our subconscious is behind the metaphoric wheel of our lives. It's also that like self-esteem silent partner that I was describing. It is influencing every move that we make, every decision that we take, every action that we take or that we don't take is driven by our subconscious. We could might as well walk around with, like I said, blinders on, because we are. We do walk around with blinders on because it's our automatic pilot that moves and drives us. And the more I recognize that inside myself, the more I realized, wow, if this is how my subconscious is driving me, at least there's some really good news in here, because I created that subconscious, which means I can also change that subconscious. It's within me, that power to make changes there so that my metaphoric car is going in a different direction that will take me to better and happier heights.
So do you, Rick, do you keep anything that happens to you, whether it's professionally or personally, do you keep it neutral and then think about what's the process regarding what just happened to me? And I guess how important this is to my life. Like, for example, that person cutting you off in traffic, you can be frustrated by it and then that can carry you for the rest of your day, but you already know what that's going to do to you for your day. Or you can just let it play out and go on, well, if I don't pay any attention to it, then fine. Someone cut me off, move on, and that's it. Go back to being the person that you are.
Yep. Yeah. I just, for myself, I just notice the feeling that's charged inside me, whatever the small or big event is. Nowadays I notice what that feeling and that reaction is. Mm. And I wonder, huh, how come I'm that way? How come I'm that way? This still happens today. I don't have all this mastered. I just have a better mastery of my own self-awareness. Mm. This even happened 2 days ago. I had the opportunity to speak on a Zoom call to introduce myself to a group of higher net worth individuals, my way of like networking, but also to share with those individuals what I do for a living, the value that I add to people's lives. When that opportunity arrived in my inbox, I hesitated. Hmm. Side voice was saying, nah, you're not good enough to introduce yourself to this group. It was talking in that same manner as I have had for 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I still have that voice. It shows up. This fear showed up. That voice that said, you're not good enough to introduce yourself to that crowd. That voice showed up. It still shows up today. But I'm able to notice that. I'm able to see and hear that voice. And whereas I would have never taken advantage of that opportunity some years ago, instead, it only took me 2 hours to reply to that invitation email to say, yes, I will be happy to introduce myself. Okay. So that to me is progress.
Yeah.
Now, maybe next time I can short it to an hour.
Rick, what else was the voice saying before so that people can bring some more awareness to that inner dialogue, that self-talk that keeps them playing small? So that, you know, this example that you just provided, it was like, you know, what do you have of value to share with people? What else mm-hmm. does that voice say to us that keeps us limited and playing
small? It also says you're not worthy. You're not worthy to fill in your own blank, but you're not worthy to introduce yourself to a crowd of high net worth entrepreneurs. You're not worthy to show up as a guest on a podcast. You're not worthy to speak on stage in front of 5 people or 1,500 people from all over the world to share your story or share a life lesson that was meaningful to you. You're not worthy. That you're not worthy is a very powerful statement that every human being has. Every human being has it. It's just a matter of when that voice comes up and says something like that, what can you do as a person to first be aware of that? And then secondly, realize and say to yourself, no, I am worthy. I am worthy to be a podcast guest host or a guest on a hot podcast. I am worthy to speak in front of a crowd of five. I am worthy to make that first social media video and post it for the first time. I'm not afraid of doing that anymore because I am valuable, because my self-esteem is running so high that I realized I would be doing the world a disservice if I didn't do that. And if you're a person who wants to add value to other people's lives and to the world, you start to say yes a lot more often than you say no.
Now, Rick, I work with students. In particular, I have a public speaking course that I do. And that course, yes, it's designed to get students to feel comfortable to do public speaking, do presentations, be comfortable in an interview, talking to adults and whatnot. Now, that is technically just the excuse, in the sense that once a student feels, you know, they're loving themselves, they feel valuable, they have high self-esteem, high self-confidence, they become invincible in all the things that they do. So what I'm trying to get them to understand is that when you believe in yourself to that degree, you are going to be able not only to do public speaking, but to pursue all of the dreams and aspirations, what's on your heart and the life that you're supposed to, you're going to be able to achieve that. That this public speaking is just the excuse that has brought us together for me to help bring more awareness to the fact that you're not believing in yourself the way that you need to. And these are young kids. So what would you say to those that, you know, might be younger in their years and aren't realizing, you know, it's surprising to me how young the brainwash starts, because one of the youngest students is grade 7. So she's only like 12, 13 years old. And I see, you know, her head is down and she speaks very quietly when I, you know, call her name to do something out loud. And so I'm like, oh my God, we just get pulled away at such a young age. What would your message be to them?
That they are extremely valuable. They may not recognize it right now, but they are extremely valuable. And every time, if it's in the case of a speaking class, every time you speak in front of whoever, it's like practice, right? It reminds me of my first piano recital when I was in seventh grade. Feels really nervous playing those keys. I've got a piano right over there. Playing those keys in front of people. These people are behind you. You can't even see them, let alone being in front of them. But what I would say to that person is that it is not only just okay, it is fantastic to step up there, say whatever, completely mess up, because every time that you do that, you're adding a coin into your confidence piggy bank. You want to add as many coins in that piggy bank as possible, to the point where that piggy bank explodes. There's not enough room inside to hold all of the coins. Eventually, over time, this is how the greats do it. No one was, Roger Federer was not born with a tennis racket in his hand. He played many, 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 many times, right? All of the greats, all the people that we aspire to be and look up to at whatever level, they weren't born that way. They had the qualities to develop the skill sets, like the eagerness and the sense of urgency and the bravery and the courage and all of those things as a very, very young child. They put all those in motion and they practice and they practice and they practice and they add coins to that confidence piggy bank. It gets to the point where you feel so great about yourself that you feel worse to not show up. You feel worse to not give the speech. You feel worse to not deliver the piano recital or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That fear of missing out doing that is far greater than the fear of doing it.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Rick, what do you think that most men are doing wrong these days?
Most people are doing wrong these days?
I would say most men.
Most men?
Yeah.
Most men. If they are not happy with the life results that they have, then most men are not looking at themselves as the reason why that is happening. They're instead looking for external reasons. I'm not happy with my relationship because she is weird or she is whatever, fill in the blank, versus looking at themselves and looking in the mirror. If I want to be in a tremendously strong, powerful, amazing relationship with a incredible, loving, outward focused, healthy, amazing woman, for example, then I need to be amazing, loving, yep, outward focused, yep, healthy. I need to be those things to attract that person. The way I'm going to get into as a man, if I'm looking for a woman for a long-term relationship, those qualities that I'm looking for, I need to be those things. Because if I'm a jerk, I'm not going to attract an amazing woman. I need to be amazing, yeah, to attract the amazing woman. So when we need to look at ourselves and figure out how can I be, it's all down to my beingness. If I focus on my beingness, how I'm showing up in the world, it's funny how everything kind of falls into place. It's like the first domino that you tip over that begins the cascading effect of the other long row of dominoes right in front of it.
But don't most people, Rick, and I'll use this term as a, just kind of as a placeholder, but the thing is they use things and people as placeholder in their lives to look like externally everything's fine. So they are in a relationship. They have the great car. They have the great job. They're buying gifts. They look presentable. But it's just all external, no?
Many times it is, yeah. In many cases it is. You're right. So
they're trying to keep up with the Joneses is what I'm trying to say, where it's like, I'll be with this person because I guess society or my circle of friends or my family is expecting me that I should be in a relationship. I mean, even today's, you know, climate, a lot of people are getting into relationships just for the sake of pleasing other people outside of them.
Yeah. And that lasts for those people who I would call are that authentic, that inauthentic.
Yes.
And not genuine. Yes. Anyone can be that way on the surface. But that doesn't last very long.
No, catches up. Yeah.
It catches up. That person is made up of bricks of rice paper, not cement. So are they really showing what they're all about? Or is this just window dressing to something worse behind it? And time always exposes those people.
Mm-hmm. It's like that idea of like fake it till you make it, right? I don't think you can fake this. I don't think you can fake this self-esteem for all of your life, to say that even me on my happiness journey, wearing many different masks, trying to be the perfect wife, perfect teacher, perfect daughter, perfect mom, perfect whatever, wearing the mask and doing all the things so that on the outside, it looked like I had it all together. Meanwhile, on the inside, I was falling apart and leading myself to the lowest point of my life, where I believe my life meant nothing. And that if I died, it wouldn't matter to anyone except my kids. That's how little self-worth I had, because I wasn't that I was going through life feeling like there was something missing, that it didn't matter how much more I bought, how much more I achieved, where I went, what I earned, what I bought, this void couldn't be filled. And it turned out that the void was the real me, that I was living inauthentically, and that I wasn't loving myself at all. So everything you're sharing, I completely get, because my value was like zero. And even though it, like, nobody knew, because on the outside I was showing up every day doing the things, and nobody knew that I was in a really dark place. And so now, and because I didn't share it, because again, I was like, well, you know, what do I have to complain about? My life looks perfect. And so what are some of the tips that you recommend for people to start to connect with that self-love, with that self-esteem? Because I want people to walk away from their conversation today knowing that if it's them, that they don't value themselves, the way that they need to. They're not loving themselves, prioritizing themselves, like their health and their happiness, the way that they need to. What are some strategies that you would recommend that they put into place to start to move closer to the love that they are?
Consider the end goal that you want in your life, whatever that is, if it's in a relationship or business or whatever. And then act like in one day you wake up and act like there is a drone with a camera that's following you around every minute of the day and videotaping all of your actions, everything that you do without judgment. Just, I am, Mr. Drone is saying, I am going to record you all day long until you go to bed. And the only person who will be able to view this video I'm recording will be you. After the day is done, you then rewind, press play, and watch yourself. And just take a pause and notice, is this the type of person that is on track to be that kind of person that I want to be in the future? It comes down to our habits, the habits that we take every single day. They're like grains of sand that we are given to either build an amazing, beautiful sandcastle or a very dull, boring mound over time. So when we know and we can see how are we using these grains of sand, that's where all the magic is. It's not in the extreme moments in life that are never going to happen anyway. It all comes down to what we do day in and day out. And those are the grains of sand. They're very subtle, very easy to pass them by, very easy to just go under the radar. But if you take a look at your results today, right now, they're all thanks to the actions that you took yesterday, last year, 5 years, 10 years. These are all seeds that we've all planted, and some have germinated right away, and some are still germinating, and some may never germinate. But over time, voila, here's where we are today, thanks to all of those habits that we've either done or have avoided that produce what our life is like today. So take a look at that drone video film and determine those habits that are amazing, that are putting you on that path that you want to be, and then identify those that are in the way.
Now, Rick, I like that a lot. Yeah,
Rick, do you do any visualization at all around thinking about who is the person that you want to be and stepping into who that is, as you said, with, you know, using the analogy you just said, but you have to first have an idea of who is the person, like the reimagined self, to say, okay, mm-hmm. I see myself like in 10 years doing this, right? Speaking on stages or I have mm-hmm. a business with 100 employees and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, the painting this whole life of like having this mm-hmm. ideal relationship and all the stuff that like that you feel within you, which is, mm-hmm. I believe, your inner being saying that this is the life you came here to live. You came here to experience all of these amazing things. I don't believe we came here to be unhappy. I don't believe that, because the essence of who we are is love, peace, and happiness already. So mm-hmm. if we're not living a happy life, we need to be aware of the fact that this is like, okay, we're doing something wrong here, because we are supposed to be happy. So is that visualization part like that, almost that first step to say, okay, so that when you are watching the drone film back, you're able to identify where the shortcomings are?
Yeah, I don't do enough of that, but yes, I do that. And I'd encourage anyone to do that, because to think is to create. Mm-hmm. Everything in our life was created twice. Everything. The first time in a person's mind, and the second time when it actually became a something. Mm-hmm. My coffee cup was first an idea in someone's mind, and then somebody made it. My glasses, the concept of a Zoom call, all these things were first once a thought, and now that thought has been created. Mm-hmm. That's how it works. It's kind of funny.
No, and that's why imagination is so important. And unfortunately, in me being an educator, I know that you know, again, children are so imaginative, and the world starts to like stomp on that when kids are daydreaming, right? Yes. And it's in those moments of daydream when you're just sitting there and you're letting your mind wander off into like wherever it's going. And it's like, hey, yeah, exactly. And and all of this gets like squashed out of us. And so exactly, all of the great things that we have here in 3D form all began with an imagination that came up with that idea and somehow brought that into fruition.
100% right. 100% right. This all happened when we were a child. We have an amazing imagination, and then things happen to us, and don't play with your food. You know, those types of commands, they're well-meaning from, say, mom and dad. That teaches us at a very young, tender age, oh, maybe I need to stay put. Maybe I shouldn't be... We
stay
start
within.
To formulate our comfort zone right away at a very, very young age. And that has its good side. We don't want our children crossing the street when there's traffic. We say no to our children many, many, many times for a good reason, because we want to protect them. That's what the subconscious does. It protects us from death. It keeps us safe. It doesn't care about our life goals. It only cares about keeping us safe. Mm-hmm. That's what our comfort zone does. So it has its place. Mm-hmm. It's not an evil thing. It does have its place, but it does bring us down. Mm-hmm.
And so are we supposed to just say, okay, I acknowledge that fear that's creeping up and I'm going to do it anyway? Is that what you say now? Like when that, as you said, just that opportunity happened and you're like, oh, you know, that fear is, you know, it's there for a reason, that, as you said, there to keep us safe, but it also is keeping us playing small. So you look at that emotion comes up, you're like, oh, but then you're like, fuck that, I'm going to do it anyway.
I still say no to walking across the highway with cars.
Yeah.
But it's the fear of being ridiculed, right? It's the fear of being judged. It's all those things, like doing unsafe actions for yourself or hurting other people. That's a different story. But I think the majority of people are like, that's the number one fear that I think is in human beings. It's basically, what is it? It's public humiliation, right? Like, it's just everybody doesn't want to be judged. Until you get out there and you show that, you know what? You may not like me, but I like me. I'm fine with everything. So you don't have to like me. There's 8 billion other people that you could like other than me. But there's a small group of people that really like me, right? And I'm good with that. And I'm also good with the other 8 billion that don't like me. So,
yeah, I still struggle with that fear of judgment.
Mm-hmm. All of us do. It's human.
All of us do. And that all comes down to the need for us as humans to be loved. We need relationships in our life. The day that we were born, we don't make it to day two without a loving relationship in our life. And our subconscious always remembers that. That's why we strive and we thrive with great, fantastic relationships. And that drives a lot of our behavior every single day.
But you can't attract that love if you don't have it to begin with to give.
That's right.
So it goes back to that inauthentic person, right? So if you want to stay inauthentic and you want to present a version of yourself, then guess who you're going to attract into your life? Mm-hmm. Same thing. So the moment you take that down and you just be true to who you are as an individual, hopefully a caring, nice person, you're going to attract that into your life.
100%. You're right.
I appreciate this conversation, Rick. This is really great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, really great. Thank you so much.
Anything else you want to share before we say goodbye? But that was great.
Not that I can think of. Nope.
Well, we wish you a great rest of your day.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
The missing key. The self-esteem. It's the self-love. The self-esteem. Self-esteem stems from self-love. It's all self-love. Self-love. So love, I think I've explained here on the show before, that love is like a prism. When you shine light through the prism, it creates this beautiful rainbow of color. all of those, that rainbow of color, are all the good feeling emotions that stem from love. So we feel happy when we're connected to the love. We feel joy. We feel harmony and peace and enthusiasm and excitement. It all stems from love. So when we love ourselves, happiness is a facet of that love. We naturally feel happy when we're connected to that. When we are doing things that we love, we naturally feel happy. Happiness is like a consequence of that love. So it's so important that we're doing the things that we love to do, because then happiness, so it's like, well, you know, it's almost like people think that happiness is kind of like just something out there you have to find. It actually always boils down to the love part. So when we love ourselves the way that we need to, the way that we naturally are, and we come back to that, then we will feel happy living the life that we're living.
But I think everybody, and he touched upon it a little bit, is we wait for the perfect opportunity to present ourselves. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist. Like today, now, right now is the time to present yourself. Mm-hmm. But like I was having a conversation with a friend the other day, and he's been on the fence about doing content for his new career. And I asked him, how's it going? He goes, I haven't done anything yet. I'm like, what's the reason why? Well, because this is, and he gave me a list of many things that in his opinion and his view are not aligned to create what he needs to create. Mm-hmm. And I didn't speak up, because once I tell someone my opinion, they've asked it, I give it to you. I don't repeat. I'm not a repeater at that point. So I think he's missing out on you to be as true to yourself as possible. Now is when you do it. Mm-hmm. You don't wait until you think you're perfectly, you know, set up to do it.
Yeah.
There's always going to be a beginning for something, and you can't, it's never, maybe things do line up and they will be perfect sometimes when you create stuff. But for the most part, imperfect situations create perfect. That's how I look at it, right?
Yes, totally. It's all about the self-belief. There's some kind of beliefs there that he's just somehow not ready to do any of those little steps.
But to what Rick was saying, it's I think he's afraid of what he's going to be criticized on. And my thought process, and I've told him this, you're going to be criticized. Mm-hmm. The moment you get yourself out there, you're going to be criticized. Mm-hmm. So accept that.
And that if you make the choice, this goes back to something I said on another show, that when you choose to show up as your true and authentic self and put 110% into what you're doing, and you believe in it wholeheartedly, and you're doing it to somehow, I think every, you know, most people want to try to make the world a happier and better place through the work that they're doing. That, and except so you have good intentions. they don't have good intentions. If you have good intentions, you're putting 110% of yourself, and you're showing up as the true and like raw you, like this is me. And people, it doesn't jive with them. It doesn't align with them, because everyone's on their own path. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how people criticize you. It doesn't matter how they see you, because everybody's looking out at the world through their own personal perception. 99% of how we see the world is our own perception. Yep. So me and you could be looking at like anything here on the table, and you might see it one way. I'm seeing it another because of my background, my experience, the knowledge that I have, and you're seeing it through. So 99%, 1% is as it actually is. So we actually don't even know the truth of what it is that we're looking at, because it's so 99% our own personal. So even when we do anything, nobody is actually going to even see it to the degree that we ourselves see the issue or problem of whatever we're trying to solve through what we're doing. So even that should help release some of the pressure to say, like, most people won't even probably get it the way that I'm seeing it, because they don't actually. So if people don't see it the way that, you know, you even think that you're putting it, it has nothing to do with you. What other people think of you is none of your business. I'm going to say that again.
I say it again, totally. That
what other people think of you is none of your business.
Because really you can never change their mind about it. Like he said, and lots of our guests have said it, where you have no control over what other people will say or do towards you. No control whatsoever.
It's all outside of your control. All you can do is control, like, your response to what's going on, and to show up every day. As again, if you're being your true and authentic self and people don't see it, then it's on them. It has nothing to do with you. And all you, and I, and it's going to take practice is going to take each of those small little steps to, like, to break out that when you keep doing it, and I'm telling, like, the public speaking students that I work with, that you're going to get better at it with practice. Initially, it's going to feel weird and awkward and uncomfortable, but you keep doing it, as, like Rick was saying, another, like, little grain of sand and another, it eventually adds up.
Yeah.
And you end up becoming one of the greats here on the planet because they practiced over and over and over and over to become the people that
But it's
they
applicable
are.
To everyday people. You can have whatever career you want to choose, and you could be the worst at it or you could be the best at it. And if you just improve every single day, then you can be a better tradesperson, a better person, whatever career it is.
And often we're harder on ourselves than other people are. Like, yeah. We're really our own worst critic. That, you know, I get some people say, oh, Teresa, wow, like, I'm seeing you're doing this and this. And I'm like, really? Like, and it's so people are also seeing things from, like, again, their own personal viewpoint, right? And we don't understand it because all we can do is see life through, like, our personal eyes, right? And so I might be thinking, oh, it's not enough. And meanwhile, other people are like, wow, Teresa, like, look what you're doing. And I'm thinking, really, that it's not enough. So, it all comes down to you. What you think, what you believe, what you want to do. And that's the life that you're creating moment by moment.
That's it. All right. Thanks, Teresa.
Thanks,
appreciate
Jamie.
It. That's
Thanks.
It. We're all done. We're out of here. Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com or connect with her on IG at @TeresaGreco_steps to happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.